Welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. Nate discusses various topics through the eyes of a young Christian. The goal is to invite others to learn about Christianity through casual conversations with wonderful guests, especially people who want to grow in their faith.
Maybe I want to be the passenger princess. You know what I'm saying? Drive me around.
Before this episode begins, remember that none of us are perfect and that we are here to learn and help each other grow. Feel free to donate to Nate through Cash App at Imperfect Podcast. Make sure to follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We hope you take something great away from this episode. Enjoy!
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Imperfect Podcast. My name is Nate, and I'm here with my guest, Kamaria. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Kamaria Kirk. Do they be saying what they do? I just say my name.
You can say what you want to say, like your podcast, stuff like that.
Kamaria Kirk, I have a podcast named Kirk, K-I-R-K. I also have a foundation that I just started, Kirk Foundation, K-I-R-K Foundation. And yeah, that's me.
Okay, so I've been watching her episodes, and with her episodes, she began straight to the point, 20-minute episodes. If you're watching me, I'd be having a long episode, so we're going to get straight to the point. They were talking about anger, dealing with that as a Christian. But first, I need a good verse of the episode, bro, as you like to say. You go ahead and give us your verse of the episode.
Alrighty. Which one want to give you? I feel like this would be a good one to tie in. We're going to go Philippians 1:6. Being confident in knowing this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6.
I love that off the dome.
That's my little one.
Yeah, I'm not built like that, so I'm going to just read my verse. Ephesians 4:26-27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. And just going off that verse, I just love that last part, give no opportunity to the devil. Because, you know, we're mad, hungry, hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Yep. If you feel any of those emotions, you're bound to make bad decisions if you're like, you know. I like that says that last opportunity for the devil to do work, because I do think that's true. When we're mad, we have those evil thoughts. We have violent thoughts, you know. They're not good thoughts. But it's easier said than done just to say, don't be angry or just get over it. We're human. We're going to be angry. We're going to be sad. We're going to be happy. Ecclesiastes says there's a season for everything. Season for happiness, sadness, anger, stuff like that. It just happens in life.
Yep.
What do you got to say about that verse that I read?
Well, just coming straight off top of it, when it comes to anger, especially being angry as a Christian, I mean, we all get angry. God doesn't expect us not to get angry. Everybody gets angry. That's just, honestly, the human in us. We really have, like, we know there's happy people out there, but even the happiest of people get angry at times. Even the happiest of Christians get angry at times. So I would say just in relation to the verse, it's just expected. You know, we're going to have times where we get angry, but we also need to remember the times of, we need to remember what God says. We need to always refer back to the word. Okay, what does he say? Because I feel like we get angry. What's my saying? Let me go ahead and give you my saying. My saying isn't, oh, I'm angry. It's, oh, I'm being disobedient. I feel like the main times where we're angry is just a time of being in disobedient to God. Like, he told us to do something, but we're like fighting against that power, fighting against what he wants to do. And we're just being disobedient, like at the end. So I feel like when trying to figure out what God is trying to tell us, it's like we know what he's trying to tell us, but we just get so frustrated at it, or we don't want to listen. So we kind of fight that power. That's being disobedient to God. And then now we're angry. Now we're sad. Now we feel like we're depressed or whatever. You're not depressed. You're just being disobedient. You're not listening to what God's telling you to do. You're not being obedient to the word. You're not going back to scripture and seeing what he says, because, I mean, it's all there. We literally have the cheat code to life. It's all there. So whenever we find ourselves being angry, I don't say we're angry. I'm just saying we're just not listening.
I like that perspective, because, you know, I think at times we could be mad at the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be mad at the truth that some things just aren't meant for your life, whether it be a relationship, a job. You may be mad at that, and you're going to dwell on that anger. But like you said, we're being disobedient and not listening to what God's telling us. God may be telling us, you're going to go work this job, not this job that you really want to, you know, it's your dream job. Like even with certain feelings, even outside of anger, like I feel like we make those things up at times. Like one that I discovered this when I got to college, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Oh boy.
That I don't, it's a feeling, but I just don't think it should be as exaggerated as it does.
Yeah.
Like just missing out, like there's, I feel like there's no such thing as missing out, because if you were meant to be somewhere, God would have put you there. And God makes sure we're not in places we're not supposed to be too. There's some conversations we aren't supposed to hear that are spoken about. As for the best of us, like you could be somewhere where your friends are. They may be saying some bad things about you, and God kept you away from that. And that's for your best, not because you were. There's no such thing as just now. I just don't. So just excuses. And I ain't gonna say depression is an excuse, but people be using depression as like their last draw. Like life's going bad. Oh, I was depressed.
Yeah. You know,
when there's real people that actually do fight actual depression, it's just like you said, it's disobedience. It's some stuff, just excuses.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually so glad you brought that up. Depression is very much, it's a real thing depending on, I would say depending on the circumstance. My philosophy of it is, yeah, I'm just being disobedient to God. Because I notice whenever I'm in the saddest of times, I know the right answer to something, but I'm just not following what was told of me to do. And then I feel like people be like, oh, well, he didn't tell me what to do. I don't know how to. They just, it's like people can't hear him, or I'm not even going to keep saying people. I'm just speaking for myself. It's like, I can't hear him sometimes. So I had to really discern God's voice and like know what he was telling me to do, if it was from him or if it was from the devil, or it was just a lot of that going back and forth. But I feel like with being angry, I feel like being angry makes us feel like we're angry because we're in places, like you said, like we fear of missing out. For example, I'm upset because I'm not there. It's like, but were you meant to be there? And I've noticed from the trajectory of my life that every time that I've had fear of missing out of somewhere, like it's always worked out for the best of me. Like something's always happened, or at the place that I wasn't at that I wanted to be at, or I've just like was just put in a different, more better position just because I wasn't in that place. And I feel like people look at that more, look at not being at that place more than what God is bringing them out of, or they look at where they wasn't and they just pay attention to that. But like, pay attention to where you're at now. Where did God place you now? What if you went there today, the place you wasn't supposed to be at because you were, you know, fighting the spiritual power, and you went there and been disobedient anyway, and something happens, or you missed out on something even better from just like not staying home. I don't know. But I used to always have fear of missing out because I had left college too. I went to Ball State. I went to Ball State for a semester. I left. I couldn't be it. I just felt convicted everywhere I turned when I was at Ball State. It was bad. And I know everybody feels like that when they're a freshman. So I was like trying to really fight. I was like, okay, this is how all freshmen feel, you know, but it was just something in the air. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be at Ball State. I was convicted. I always felt like I needed to be elsewhere, which is also something that we have to learn to discern, because sometimes the devil wants us to think that we should be somewhere else than the place that God has put us in, just to like distract us or just get us out of him. But God actually delivered me from Ball State. Anyways, I feel like just leaving there and like listening to what God was telling me, because I was every night prayer, I was just talking to God, what do you want me to do? I really had to work on my discernment. I really had to get into my word. And that's how I feel so much wiser now, just from all that time that I spent, the time I'm still spending the word. But just listening to what he's telling you to do, like I felt so much freer. I felt so much, I didn't feel angry. When I was there, I was angry all the time. I always felt sad. I always felt like, oh, that's when I started saying, oh, I feel like I'm depressed or something. But then I realized those voices wasn't mine. I had like another voice in my head telling me that I was these things. And I feel like we categorize ourselves and saying, we're this, we're that. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm this, I'm that. But that isn't us. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we're more so, those are feelings, and feelings can be fleeting. So instead of saying I'm sad, you can say I feel sadness. And that's how I kind of disrupt the system within that. That's kind of how I change the perspective. Instead of trying to put a label on myself, oh, I'm sad. I'm angry. I feel anger. Okay, how can I overturn this? How can I win in this scenario instead of losing and succumbing to those feelings that I'm placing on myself? Well, I just feel this thing. I'm not that thing. I feel like that's where people get stuck at. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah, I think it's like if you look at many situations where you may be depressed or sad, it's like I think it's just no coincidence that once you get over those feelings, things are immediately better. Like it wasn't anything physical or any circumstance, it was just your mind. Like it's no coincidence that once you defeat those voices / demons in your head trying to tell you all these negative thoughts that things just skyrocket in positivity.
Oh yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have this question for you. What do you think is, or five ways you think are healthy ways to deal with anger as a Christian?
Five ways to deal with anger as a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be no particular order, but the first one I would say is, to deal with anger, first you have to sit with it. I feel like when we're angry, we're so quick to like jump to things or do things out of anger. And then it's always things we regret, or it's always things that we kind of just like reflect on because we did the thing. So same thing with regret. So I feel like just sitting with it. That's the first thing. Just sit with it. Don't do anything. Literally, if you have to put your phone to the side, put your phone to the side. People are around you. You need to go into a different room. If you're angry, you need to just sit with it. You need to just feel those feelings instead of feeling like it's on you. So sit with it. Second thing, I would say as a Christian, open your word. Go back to what God told you to do. If you are in a situation you don't know what to do, go back to the last thing God has told you to do and do that thing. And it might take a minute for you to like figure out what it is because it's already passed, but that's because you didn't do the thing. So like that door is still open for you. We're always waiting around for different doors to open, but we literally passed the door that God had already waiting for us. So go back to the last thing God told you to do. So sit with it. What'd I say? Go back to the last thing God told you to do, get in your word. The third thing I would say, I would say use your resources. Use your resources. My main resource, obviously, is the Bible. I literally say if I'm angry, and I just need to, verses really do cheer you up. If you're a Christian and you feel like you're angry, I know sometimes it can be a bit daunting. Like it can feel pressure to like, oh, I'm angry. Now let me go open up my Bible. So this really isn't for everybody. Like the first thing some Christians can't do is open up their Bible, but I feel like that's the best thing to do in any scenario. But find a verse. Literally, verses are life-changing. Verses literally are the cheat code. Scripture is the cheat code to anything in your life. So if you're angry, you need something uplifting, or you need to know how to deal with that anger, God literally already told us what to do. He literally told us how to deal with it. So I would say, find a verse, find a scripture. The fourth thing I would say is, oh, obviously, as a Christian, pray. Pray.
Yeah.
But the way to go about it, people have different ways that they pray. There's no right or wrong way to pray. And I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves to like know the big words that are used in the Bible or pray a certain way. You literally get on our knees, put our hands up. Like you can pray just by talking to God. You can pray just by calling on him and saying whatever. That's prayer. Because as long as you call on him, dear Heavenly Father, dear God, dear Father, people forget that God is thy Father. God is our dad. So just as, you know, I don't know if people have a close relationship with their dad, but just as if you were talking to their dad, or call on your dad, he wants to hear from you. That's prayer. So anyway, and that's kind of how I learned to, I just used to say stuff. At first I used to think I had to just know all these things. Like I used to think I had to say thy in my prayer, just all types of certain stuff that was in the Bible that, you know, the bigger, you know, I was like, girl, you do not have to draw that. But literally just talking to him, that's coming to him in prayer. So pray. The fifth thing, if you're angry as a Christian, what should you do? I would just say surrender. That's all it is. You're holding on to a lot. If you're angry, you're filled up with so much stuff that just needs to be released. Just surrender. That kind of goes through with prayer. That kind of goes into with reading scripture. But just literally taking a deep breath and surrendering. Even if you just think in your head, God, I'm just going to give it all to you. Just surrender. Any way you know how, any way you feel like is best for you. Like I said, people have their own ways to go about it, but just surrender. Yeah, those are my five.
I think with prayer, last thing I'll say, I think people don't realize that, like you said, there's no set way to do it. Like, it's good to bring, I can't quote the exact verse, it says cast your anxieties to God rather than just talk about it to anybody else. Because if you pray about it, yeah, God knows, but he wants to hear you talk about it. That's like your safe space, your bidding space. It's like, me personally, I'm not the type to, I'm not very vulnerable. Well, I lied, I have a podcast. I'm not the type to directly tell somebody else about my problems or my feelings. Like, I've learned to journal, literally talk to myself out loud, so it's just not sitting up here in my head. Mm-hmm. But even in prayer, venting your anger to God, like in my church's college group, they were talking about how somebody that they knew in the church had died. And there was, like, every time somebody dies, you're always upset. And you're always like, why did they die? They were so perfect. And our leader was like, her thoughts were, she was angry because she's like, really, God, why him? He was so good. Why did you have to take him? Mm-hmm. Like, those thoughts, those are healthy prayers to pray rather than dwell on that anger. Like, yeah, you said you got to confront it because just not ignoring it isn't going to help. Mm-hmm. But bringing it to God is so much better.
Yeah. Just like you said about confronting your anger, that just goes to show you that anger is really a fear-based emotion. You know, we operate out of two ways. So it's just love and fear. Anger is a fear-based emotion. So when you say to just confront your anger, you're really just saying to just confront your fear. Just say what you're scared. Say what you're scared of. Say what's scaring you. That's really what that anger is. It's just a fear-based emotion. You're just angry. You're just scared. And also I feel like the way to, you just got to think about the opposites in any scenario. So I feel like when you're in a situation where you are angry, yes, remember that, okay, this is just a fear-based emotion. I'm not angry. I just feel anger, fear-based emotion. How can I overcome this? I like to categorize my stuff into wins and losses. Okay, how can I win in this situation? Because I have, you know, we all have our fair share of losses when it comes to dealing with our mind and dealing with anger, sadness, fear, whatever. How can you win in this situation? Nobody, anger usually turns into something bad. Like, anger is just a bubble up. And afterwards, we just feel even worse for how we chose to deal with that anger. So I think about how I want the outcome to be. Do I want it to be something in my love-based emotion, or I want something to be in my fear-based emotion? Typically, people choose the fear-based emotion subconsciously, not knowing that, oh, I'm acting out of anger, but now I'm going to feel even worse. Obviously, in the moment, we're not thinking about that. Like, we're just thinking about this anger that we have, and we got to release it. We got to say this. We got to do this, da-da-da. But that's why I say one of my five is to just, like, sit with it. Because when you sit with it, you can come to some more reliable, love-based solutions, you know? And also just, it just really has a lot to do with ourselves and the work that we put into ourselves. And I feel like we as people play victim a lot, even to ourselves, but especially to other people, we play victim a lot to a lot of things. So I feel like going back to, ooh, Lord, forgive me if this is wrong, pretty sure, Matthew 22, verse 37, 39, the first two commandments that he ever gave us. Once again, we don't have a coincidental God. We have a very strategic God. Nothing is coincidental. So he put the two commandments side by side because he literally, like I said, it's the cheat codes. He gave us the steps. So the first one, love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. First things first, he put that first. Love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Right after that, he said, love thy neighbor as yourself. And I feel like everybody forgets about the second part of the second commandment, as yourself. There's no way we can go out and love other people, cater to other people, if we don't first love ourselves. We can't first love ourselves if we don't go back to the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The way we love ourselves is the way we love God. The way we love God is the way we love ourselves. The way we love ourselves is the way we can love to other people. But it's hard to do that when we're acting out of anger, which is really us acting out of fear. So I feel like just go back to that and there shouldn't be no problems. I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's steps. It's painful, but I feel like when people come out on the other side of it, it was definitely worth the fight than acting out of anger all of our life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So before we wrap this up, mm-hmm. I think all my episodes, my guests, asking them 10 questions so that my audience can get to know you better.
Yay.
So I have 10 questions for you.
All right.
You can answer as quick, long, broad, vague as you want.
I love questions.
First question is, what's your favorite color?
Purple.
I like that. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Bible verse?
Oh, boy. My favorite Bible verse is definitely Matthew. Matthew 6:33. But first seek the kingdom of righteousness, and all things will be added on to you. I definitely said that wrong, but first seek the kingdom of righteousness.
Who's your favorite artist?
Ross Gardner.
Good answer. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years. I'm 20. I'm turning 21. I'll be 26. In 5 years, I'll be 26. And they say 26 is the year your brain fully developed. So I just see me... I don't know. I want to be somewhere set down. I'm always on the move. I kind of want to be somewhere. I want to be somewhere stable for a minute. So I just see me just doing everything that I love all the time, every day, which is the simplest of things. Reading. I like to garden. All this stuff can be done at home. So I really see me in the house just reading, gardening. I want to live a slow, happy life. So in 5 years, hopefully at 26, I know that's like, girl, you 26, you still, I don't care about all that. So I want to be in the house. I want to be somewhere stable.
What do you hope to accomplish by the age of 50?
Oh, I would definitely want to grow my foundation, Kirk Foundation. By the age of 50, we should definitely have a couple centers open for the homeless. We should definitely have a couple children's centers open. I want to have a big center for children, multiple locations for the homeless too, shelter. And not just a shelter for the homeless, but I want the model to be come in so you can get out. So I want to have the center be like the homeless can come in, we set them up, we get them an ID, we, you know, take care of them, we kind of tutor them on life a little bit, you know, show them how they can get a job, and hopefully they get a job and, you know, back up on their feet. So it's not just a shelter where you just come sit. I mean, they can come and do that, but it's typically us wanting them to leave and go live their life. So yeah, I want a couple of those out by the age of 50 for sure.
What's your favorite food?
I like to eat. I got a lot of favorite foods. Okay, so my favorite kind of food is tacos. I like tacos. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. That's so typical, tacos.
What's your dream job?
My dream job is to be working for myself. So my dream job, honestly, I just want to run my foundation, and I want to see, the thing about my dream job is you can't really get paid for it. So hopefully, you know, by God's grace, he'll put me in a position to be getting paid to do the thing that I love. But I love to give. So honestly, all my money is being spent on other people and other things. Hopefully, you know, that'll work out. But that's my dream job. I don't care. That's me.
If you were given $1 million right now, what would you do with it?
Oh, that's going in the bank. We gotta put her up. Yeah, we do.
You're not gonna spend a dime.
I'm really not. I don't know what other people said, but I'm really not.
They gave some solid answers. Okay, I'd be changing up the range, but they gave some solid answers. But
what?
I've said $100 million. I said $1 billion. But they would say give to their family, use some of it for himself to grow their foundation and what they're doing, stuff like that. Saving it, they said save it, but they spent some, but they've saved.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely put some into my foundation for sure. But the first thing I'm doing when I get it is get it put up. I honestly can't even see it. I got self-control, I do, but it's like if I see it, it's like, oh, it's getting put up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's someone you'd love to speak to, dead or alive? You can't say it was Jesus.
That's funny. Let me think about an idol. Not even an idol. I'm going to call her an idol. Someone I want to speak to, dead or alive. I feel like this is so boring and typical, but I would say Michelle Obama. I've been reading her books, and she's just such a wise, intellectual woman. I feel like I could take a lot from her. I want to speak to Michelle.
First lady. I ain't born. Mm-hmm. This is the last question. What's your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby? Dang. One. I got to pick one.
Just one.
Alrighty.
No, okay. Give me your top three.
Okay. Thank you. Way better. Okay. Top three. Okay. I'm going to just say the things I feel like I have to do in order to feel like a person. So go to the gym for sure. That's, yeah, favorite. That's top three favorite hobby for sure. It just makes you feel good, you know, mental. It's not even just about the physical look of it, just the mental of it.
You get it.
Yeah. I love to cook. Ooh, I can cook. I love to cook.
Yes.
Yeah. So gym, cooking, which honestly go hand in hand. It's way better for you anyway. Gym, cooking, and writing. Writing. I write journal. I write my prayers out. Writing. Yes.
All right. This is a little bonus. You talk about the Kirk Foundation, put the people on, stuff like that. Give us some details.
All righty. So with Kirk Foundation, I've always been a giver. That is my, I had to sit and think about the gift that God gave me. I kind of went through a little period where I didn't know my purpose, which I mean, we all go through those periods, but I was just really trying to find fulfillment in certain areas that weren't for me. And I just went back to what, to the things that I do now and the things that I've always did, and that's always give to other people. I've used to always think about ways that I could give in a more broader spectrum, give out to more. So I tried to combine my gift of giving with my love for people, and that's how I thought about the Kirk Foundation. And I know my last name is on a lot, and I feel like people look at it as, oh, she's putting her name on stuff, but there's actually a very nice background to my last name. It's not just me. It's household. It comes from a very great, powerful woman that I look up to a lot, and that's why I call it the Kirk Foundation. So it doesn't have to do nothing with me as a person. Yes, it's my last name, but it's not me. But our love language that I put on my Instagram is acts of service. So I started the Kirk Foundation just to try to bring the community together, especially people our age, you know, Gen Z people, young people, even kids, bring us together to show that we can help other people and that we can make a change and that we can be a part of history. So I created the Kirk Foundation to be a representation of that. I wanted to get people together to give back to other people in need, or just come up with ways and solutions that we can give back any way that we can, not just give out money or not just, you know, the regular things, but literally any way. There's always ways we can give back that doesn't even have to do with money. Yeah, just a week ago, we had our first charity event in celebration of Women's History Month that I titled Queenin'. And it was for women, but men were there as well. They crashed the party. It's okay. They donated. But yeah, and we actually raised close to $300 for The foundation raised close to $300 for the Wheeler Missions Women and Children's Center that's downtown. Me and my grandma, we volunteer there a lot with the homeless and, you know, give out food. So I wanted to raise some money for them. And that was just our little first event. But that was just, that was kind of like our coming out party as well, just to show what we can do and show that what we're a part of and what we stand for, honestly. Like, we honestly want to give back to other people and show that we can be of service and that it's possible. So yeah, that's a little bit of the Kirk Foundation. It's Kirk Foundation underscore. I tried to take the underscore off, but Instagram hates me, so.
Yep. I wish I knew about that a lot earlier, because I did an episode on reaping and sowing, and aligns with what you're talking about. And I'm also a giver. We can talk about this later, though. This episode is getting a little long. But
oh yeah, we can talk about another episode.
We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for joining me. If you're still watching, thank you for watching. She's going to be on the episode. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, follow her podcast, the social media, her foundation, stuff like that. And yeah, see y'all next time.
Bye.